The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thursday feels like a Friday, wish it was. But we'll keep going. We'll press on. Man. The show must
Friday
go on, Dom.
Eve. We are motivated, Crudy. We can do it. We can do it, but we're going to need your help. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
It is a happier happy hour, although I have a modest complaint. During the commercial break, a flutist, and they're probably really good. I don't know. I'm not a big connoisseur of the flute playing. But it's like Jethro Tull is just hammering me out on State Street here, man. I can't escape the aqualung or something. And so it's just got to be momentarily distracted. You know how I get, Dom.
Is it a jazz flute, Crudy?
It does not sound like a jazz flute. Not a la, who was the Anchorman?
Anchorman.
Remember when he played that? Yeah. Lit up that electric flute or whatever it was.
Oh, God.
Well, Dom, turning my attention back to the history and the politics, 80th anniversary of D-Day, and we've got sound of President Joe Biden making statements earlier today. He was with Macron. He was in France. By contrast, Donald Trump talking about the revenge tour he's soon going to be on in Arizona. We'll talk about his, air quotes, 2 o'clock in the afternoon town hall a little bit more because it's still going on. Can't believe Gary's tuning in to us when Trump's speaking. But anyways, Rich, going to need your help here. Want to play the president, Joe Biden, today speaking on the anniversary, 80th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion. Play cut one.
We know the dark forces that these heroes fought against 80 years ago. They never fade. Aggression and greed, the desire to dominate and control, to change borders by force. These are perennial. The struggle between a dictatorship and freedom is unending.
Just ask Putin. Mm-hmm. More Rich from President Joe Biden, played for the people. Cut two, please.
The men who fought here became heroes, not because they were the strongest, the toughest, or the fiercest, although they were, but because they were given an audacious mission, knowing every one of them knew the probability of dying was real.
A lot of boys died that day. More from President Joe Biden on the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Play for the people, Rich.
They knew, beyond any doubt, there are things that are worth fighting and dying for.
Fighting and dying for. I believe we've got one more from the president. Let's put a bow on it. Rich, play it for the people, please.
Now we have to ask ourselves, will we stand against tyranny, against evil, against crushing brutality of the iron fist? Will we stand for freedom? Will we defend democracy?
Yes. President Joe Biden speaking today. Found a little bit in the Wisconsin Examiner here, Crudy. We posted on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Check it out. I'm going to jump into the article. Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, met with 41 veterans from the Normandy campaign, 33 of whom served on D-Day, according to reporters traveling with the president. Biden gave each a commemorative coin bearing the presidential seal and images of troops on the beaches of Normandy. About 180 American World War II veterans attended the ceremony, according to reporters present. Many veterans, over or approaching age 100, sat on a shaded stage in wheelchairs covered in blue blankets and wearing red, white, and blue scarves. Miniature American and French flags fluttered beside each white marble cross of Star of David and the Rose, and the Rose marked thousands of Americans laid to rest in France. More than 9,300 Americans are buried at this 172.5.
How many, Dom? Slow down for me. I
9,300 Americans are buried at that cemetery. Just over 300 headstones are marked unknown. A wall of the missing bears nearly 1,600 names of Americans declared missing or lost at sea. Biden said this during the ceremony. Many, to state the obvious, never came home. Many survived that longest day and kept on fighting for months until victory was finally won. And a few notable bands of brothers are here with us today. More than 4,400 Allied troops died on the first day of the invasion, including 2,501 Americans. Yeah, 80 years ago today.
Dominic, Eugene Robinson at the Washington Post. Biden's visit to Normandy on the 80th anniversary reminds us of a nation divided, then united. Eugene, looking for a silver lining here, Dom. In history, the images of President Biden in Normandy marking the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion were poignant, considering the nation is currently so divided. Seeing him with those brave, hundred-year-old survivors recalled a time of national unity and purpose. You know, trying to help Crudy pronounce it.
Centenarian.
I don't know any 100-year-olds. They're just 100-year-olds, Dom. As we look back in admiration, however, we should also remember that in the years before World War II, American society was more deeply fractured than it is today. In at least one aspect, this was true even during the war. The U.S. Armed Forces were racially segregated. The only all-black unit assigned to storm the beaches on the morning of June 6, 1944, was the 320th Barrage Balloon Battalion. One of its medics, 21-year-old Corporal Waverly B. Woodson Jr., was wounded by German shrapnel as he landed around 9 a.m. Bleeding and in pain, he set up a medical aid station and spent 30 hours treating Allied wounded, almost all of them white, before collapsing and being taken to a hospital ship. Woodson survived the war, returned to a nation where he was a second-class citizen, and died in 2005. Earlier this week, finally, he was posthumously awarded the Distinguished Service Medal, Cross, the Army's second highest honor. The system of racial separation and oppression known as Jim Crow was hardly the only chasm that divided Americans. The country was still struggling to recover from the Great Depression, and partisan factions were bitterly fighting over the New Deal policies that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt enacted. Roosevelt lost political capital in 1937 when he tried and failed to pack the Supreme Court, which had been an impediment to his sweeping reforms. The following year, he angered a wing of his own party by supporting progressive Democrats over more conservative incumbents in congressional primary contest. And when FDR broke with tradition in 1940 and ran for a third term in the White House, critics howled that he was trying to make himself into a dictator like Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. The rhetoric was as angry and apocalyptic as anything we are hearing in 2024. Senator Robert A. Taft of Ohio, who was seeking the Republican presidential nomination, said there was, and here's a quote, more danger of the infiltration of totalitarian ideas from the New Deal circle in Washington than there will ever be from any activities of communists or Nazi buns. Wendell Willkie, the relative moderate who won the GOP nomination, also railed against our very rapid drift towards totalitarianism, charging that every major economic policy of the New Deal was pushing the nation towards socialism, Dom. For the historical record, capitalism survived.
Yes, it did. When war erupted in Europe, Roosevelt knew the United States would eventually be drawn in. He saw that the country was woefully unprepared. He had inherited an army of only 175,000 ill-equipped, inadequately trained soldiers on active duty, mere cannon fodder potentially for the fearsome German war machine. but isolationists resisted Roosevelt's efforts to ready the U.S. military and help Britain hold out against the threat of a Nazi invasion. The original MAGA movement expressed its nativism, racism, and anti-Semitism plainly rather than in coded euphemisms. The flagship pressure groups, a group working against Roosevelt, was called the America First Committee, a name that might prove Karl Marx was right when he said history repeats itself, first as tragedy, then as farce. Famed aviator Charles Lindbergh, the chief spokesman for America First, went so far as to argue that the United States should take the side of Germany joining the Nazis in a racial solidarity against Asiatic intruders, by which he means Russians and Jews. Isolationism has significant mainstream support, including in the business community, whose collective diary, the Wall Street Journal, argued in 1940 editorial that, quote, our job today is not to stop Hitler. Roosevelt foresaw, however, that stopping Hitler would indeed be our job. He took a huge political gamble during the heated 1940 election campaign when he pushed Congress to authorize the nation's first peacetime military draft. He got what he wanted, both the legislation and the third term. A year later, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor sent isolationism back into the deepest recesses of our national id until recently and gave Americans a common purpose, leading to the bravery, sacrifice, and triumph that Biden and other world leaders commemorated Thursday. After Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it is inconceivable that global war can again be the forge that welds the nation together. This reality means that somehow we must tolerate our divisions as we try to ameliorate them incrementally through our barely functional political process. The American graves on the bluff above Omaha Beach admonish us to summon the necessary valor. Eugene Robinson writing at the Washington Post.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates 80th anniversary of D-Day. President Biden was there with Macron, visiting the graves, speaking solemnly. We welcome your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Maybe some echoes, some parallels from history. Only you would have thought Trump would have somehow been on the other side of the pond. Didn't know Trump? We were going to be the bad guys in the next world war, Dom. More Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Join us.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to Devil's Advocates radio show phone lines. We're going to get to them. Talk or text. Hit us up. 844-967-2789.
Dom's got his hash pipe. You'll have the phone number. That's 844-967-2789. And just a moment, we'll digress for one moment, Dom. For those that are playing the Sconey summer whatever game, your keyword is fun. When Dom talks too much, the Devil's Advocates is less fun.
I believe it's pronounced Sconey, Rudy.
I don't care, Dom. F-U-N.
It's Sconey, fun. Man. This is Wisconsin.
U-N. Fun. That's the only word that matters. Now back to the politicking and the phone calling and all the important stuff that we do around here, Dom. And let's not forget Donald Trump. He's at a town hall in Arizona as we speak.
What's going on?
Being held. I haven't checked. Hold on. Oh, yeah. He's still rambling. Still got a podium. Now, he did have some old dude who didn't exactly trash John McCain in Arizona, but said, you know, I've only had one political hero, and it's this guy, and pointed at Trump.
Didn't he bring up, I thought I saw that he brought out Arpaio. Was that who it was?
Sheriff Joe?
Yeah.
We've had Sheriff Joe on this fine show. Back when he used to put the inmates in the pink to humiliate them, because they deserved it.
That's the kind of, that's Donald Trump's kind of guy.
I actually can't say I've ever done this before, Dom. I'm feeding Trump in real time on the right side broadcasting network. You know, they're on the right side, Dom.
Uh-huh.
Like our little conservative love muffin, Gary from Sussex. Welcome, Gary. What do you got for us?
Hey, Gary.
Hi, guys. A couple of things. I'm going to start out with my dad was in the military in World War II. He'd be 102 right now if he's still alive. Wow. But he did not fight at, you know, during D-Day. He was at Saipan. He had action in Saipan. And he told me, he was a drill instructor, and he told me that he'd tell his guys, if you listen to me, you have the best chance of survival. If you don't listen to me, you're going to die. So he, you know, they really, you know, that's why these guys, they do what they do, because they listen, you know, to their instructors.
You're a drill sergeant's kid, Gary?
What?
You're a drill sergeant's kid.
Yes.
And so I got to think your old man was pretty anti-fascist, if you know what I'm saying, Gary. So what the hell happened to you, my friend?
I was a Democrat all my life up until after I got married. So, like I said, Reagan was my first Republican. But back to my story.
Did you marry a Nolito? What happened to you, Gary? Your wife changed your politics?
Yes. Yes. Actually, Reagan did, but my wife was a Republican. And so my mother-in-law said that unless I become a Republican, she won't get permission to marry me. So
the things we do for love, Gary.
Yes, it is. And it's well worth it because 51 years we've been married. Wow. Okay, back to my story. My dad was a drill instructor. And what he told the guys is when you jump out of an airplane, you take your helmet off and you stick it between your legs.
Yeah.
So support to keep you from getting shot in on your groin. And if my dad didn't do that, I wouldn't be here. So thank God that he wore his helmet between his legs, because it doesn't do any good on your head coming out of a parachute when you're just kind of hanging there. And then go ahead.
No, finish your thought. Then I'll follow up.
Okay. So when my dad got out of the military, he was in Korea also. When he finally got in, he spent 20 years in the military. And when we misbehaved, he would sit there and he'd say, "You dig me a hole. 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet." So we'd have to go in the backyard and dig a hole 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet. And he would measure it with his tape measure. Then we show my dad. He said, "Dad, we're done here." And then he'd take a cigar, throw it in there, and he'd say, "Bury it." But I'll tell you something. My dad was a gigantic pussycat. He'd always tell us, "You guys can do whatever you want. Just don't get caught."
No wonder why you love Trump so much. Gary, how has your attitude not changed on Trump? He got caught.
Let me ask you, Gary, your father sounds very interesting. How do you think he would react to Donald Trump and what the movement that I consider to be a very fascist-leaning movement? How would your dad respond, do you think, these days?
My dad actually became a Republican later on after I did. So I think he would have loved Trump just like the rest of us do. Now, you know, you guys always give me the time to tell you that you don't tell me I'm crazy, and then you give me the time to express how I feel. And that's why I like listening to you guys. If you guys would cut me off all the time, I wouldn't even be listening to you. So you're making it fair. And your listeners, do you remember when I first started calling 4 years ago? They trash me so bad.
They still do, Gary. I read the text line. But go ahead.
Yeah, but that was my badge of honor. I love that when they do that. You know,
Gary, do you think? We've heard a lot of these Republicans and like Steve Bannon. What do you think? Yeah. Steve Bannon is getting railroaded. Do you think that our justice system is rigged? The election system is rigged. That our healthcare system is rigged. That everything's rigged. That this is all just an effort to keep MAGA down, because that's what Republicans are saying. Gary, do you buy into that? Do you espouse that same philosophy?
Yes.
So do you think Steve Bannon's going to go to jail for 4 months? Because
yes.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because
why is he going to jail, Gary? Well, right. I mean, isn't that the reason why he's going to jail? Because he contempt of Congress, right? Just like Navarro's in jail for that. Is that, no, so no, he, no. Should.
You should go to jail.
Okay.
If you're subpoenaed and you don't show up, no, yeah, you go to jail.
Well, that's not what he's saying, Gary. He's saying that this is to shut MAGA up. And I'm asking you, you agree, but now you seem to disagree with that statement.
Okay. If you diss Congress and you don't do what they tell you to do, and if you're basically subpoenaed, I think that, I mean, this isn't that why they're throwing him in jail? Because he didn't show up for...
Yes, he was convicted of contempt of Congress, failing to acknowledge the subpoenas and
right, and testify, I agree, he should go to jail for that, because you can't, I mean, you got to follow the laws, and you got to show up for a subpoena. I subpoenaed a police officer one time, and they did not like that, but I needed that person to prove my innocence.
But how does this not apply to Donald Trump, Gary?
I basically think the coming after him for some legal errors and logistics
errors.
That he didn't. Well, yes, because
Gary got cut short.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. It's a happier happy hour, and we're always happier when you join us at 844-967-2789. It's a phone line. It's a text line. And Dom, I've got a couple of quick updates here. First and foremost, on the Wisconsin front, we had the fake electors charged by Attorney General Josh Call this week. And I've got some new conspiracy theories,
Ooh. But
from sharp legal minds like Lisa Rubin. And here is what Lisa Rubin is currently saying. New Wisconsin Attorney General criminal complaint against Ken Cheesebro. Trump lawyer Jim Troupas and Trump campaign staffer Mike Roman is the fifth state criminal case centered on efforts to overturn the 2020 election. But it's different in a few key ways. Among them, footnote number 5, which notes that Cheesebro participated in a December of 2023 interview. Now, I've been saying Cheesebro was the only source saying that he had been talking to Wisconsin investigators, and he told Politico that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here is how Rubin picks it up. Cheesebro participated in a December 2023 interview, which does not appear to have been anything other than voluntary, with Wisconsin investigators. Was that interview supposed to be a prelude to cooperation? Now, that's the question I've been asking myself since these charges drop, but Rubin varies and takes her conspiracy theory for now down a different rabbit hole. What Lisa Rubin asked, we don't know, but after pleading out in Fulton County, Georgia, Cheesebro and his lawyers likely hope to cooperate in any other state-based investigation into the fake elector scheme, just as he reportedly did in Nevada and Arizona. Well, that's what I thought, Dom. Rubin asked, so what happened? Well, according to footnote number 5, and she's included the footnote number 5 from the Cheesebro indictment, Dom. Uh-huh. Cheesebro seems to have lied to Wisconsin investigators about his Twitter account use.
Oh, that's
remember,
right.
He's the Badger pundit. Yes. He had this clandestine Twitter account
that he did not acknowledge.
And they apparently learned that they had been played through a media report on Cheesebro, similar to Michigan prosecutors. So they saw that Cheesebro had a Twitter account, which he had not publicly acknowledged. In fact, he had denied, apparently, to Michigan investigators. And now from footnote number 5, Lisa Rubin noting this could be substantial. And while it remains to be seen whether anyone will be charged in Michigan beyond the fake electors, here's that media report, which now looks like the beginning of Cheesebro's Wisconsin journey from cooperator to target. And I told you yesterday, Dom, your buddy, Matt Kittle, who was with the MacGyver Institute, that is a far right wing, I believe it's funded by the Bradley Foundation and other richy rich sort of dark money kind of stuff. But he was on right wing talk radio. He was filling in for, you know, the Prince of Mornings, Dan O'Donnell, your buddy. And Kittle was saying, hey, you know, Wisconsin already did this. And I'm thinking, what the hell is he talking about? And he is analogizing the gag order against Donald Trump with the gag order against the targets of the John Doe investigation here in the state of Wisconsin, the political corruption of Scott Walker. And let's not forget how it was portrayed by MD Kittle.
Oh, yes. Many articles.
He wrote over 400 articles on the John Doe dam. And they were described as pre-dawn paramilitary raids, the execution of the search warrants. And to hear Kittle tell it, Tom, well, Wisconsin foreshadowed what's now happening at the Department of Justice. And it was guys like John Chisholm, the DA in Milwaukee County. And I'm like, John Chisholm never even filed charges against Walker. He could have killed Walker's political career in the recall in 2012. He didn't even need to convict the guy. He just needed to charge him. And Walker would have been done. Done for. Because so many people were against the recall because he hadn't committed crimes. He hadn't done anything extravagant. You know, just bad policy. Just sticking it to the public sector unions. That was the impetus primarily behind the recall. We didn't know what a corrupt SOB he was until we found out they were investigating him from the day he was inaugurated onward. Actually, the day he was elected to the governor, Scott Walker was under investigation. He was the target of the John Doe. And what'd they do? They got rid of the Government Accountability Board, which was nationally renowned.
Republicans in the legislature under Scott Walker.
Yes. Well, Kittle had Tom Tiffany on. Tom Tiffany is a U.S. congressman that 2 days after he was elected to the U.S. Congress challenged the certification of the election in Arizona in the state of Wisconsin. My understanding, 2 days on the job, but he was pretty damn convinced the same ballot that sent him to Washington had been rigged against Donald Trump in the state of Wisconsin. But when Tiffany was a state senator in the state of Wisconsin, let's not forget, he was part of the destruction of the nonpartisan former judges, retired judges, man, this thing. And they destroyed the Government Accountability Board. This thing that was a national...
it was held up as a national model. Yes.
Until they investigated, you know, had the temerity to investigate the Scott Walker campaign corruption. And the coordination with third-party groups to the tune of $20 million or more, that used to be a lot of money around here. So, anyways, I just find it interesting that, you know, MD Kittle, Matt Kittle, would, A, get to fill in on anybody's radio show. Come on, you got to have better friends than Kittle. But B, would be hearkening back to the John Doe days. You know, the dark days in Wisconsin history when Republicans were prosecuted just for being Republicans, Dom.
That's what it is. Not for the criming that Republicans happen to be doing, but for being Republican. I mean, this is the same thing they're saying now.
Well, here's what Donald Trump had to say today, or at least a statement on the Truthy Social, I believe, Dom, about the order go directly to prison, do not collect $200, Steve Bannon. It would not have mattered whether Steve Bannon and others, looking at you, Jim Jordan, went in front of the Unselect Committee of Criminal Hacks and Thugs, in all caps on this one, because all of the information ended up being illegally deleted and destroyed by these corrupt radicals.
That's a lie.
Bannon, who had been a tireless MAGA soldier leading a legion of supporters with his War Room podcast, was convicted of 2 counts for refusing to comply with the subpoena from the January 6th committee. Specifically, he was punished for withholding documents and staying silent while the House Select Committee investigated the U.S. Capitol's deadly riot on January 6, 2021. And Bannon made remarks following the U.S. District Court Judge Carl Nichols' decision that told him go directly to prison on July 1st. We've heard this before, Don, but I'm going to repeat it. I want to say something specifically about the Justice Department. They're not going to shut up Trump. They're not going to shut up Peter Navarro. They're not going to shut up Bannon. And they're certainly not going to shut up MAGA. 844-967-2789.
Crudy, I did confirm Washington Post reporting former president, and I'll throw in the convicted felon, Donald Trump, during a campaign event Thursday in Arizona, embraced Joe Arpaio, the controversial former sheriff, who Trump pardoned in 2017. Trump invited Arpaio on stage at the Phoenix event and appeared to kiss him on the neck while hugging him. I don't kiss Ben, but I kiss him. We had a real border with this guy. People said he was too tough. Now they're saying, where's Sheriff Joe? Pardon. Trump pardoned Arpaio, the former Maricopa County Sheriff, less than a month after he was convicted of criminal contempt of court. What is up with all these contempt of court things with these people? He disobeyed a judge's order to stop detaining people because he only suspected they were undocumented immigrants. After coming on stage, Arpaio said that in Trump, he has found the only hero I ever had in my life.
Oh, that was Joe Arpaio? He's lost some weight. He's not quite as chubby as he used to be, Dom.
President Biden's reelection campaign quickly responded to the joint appearance on social media. The Biden campaign shared a video clip of Trump bringing Arpaio on stage, describing him as a convicted criminal pardoned by Trump who racially profiled and abused immigrants. So, yeah, there you go.
Apparently, Trump has left the stage just an hour and 45 minutes after his rambling
after the town hall. Was there any questions from the town?
Yes, there was. There was.
Oh, there was. Okay.
Now, I observed, at least during one commercial break, I was monitoring the 2 o'clock in the afternoon town hall in Phoenix. And there was a restaurateur, a Latino guy. And, you know, as happenstance would have it, Dom, they wanted to sort of feature this guy. So he got to ask Trump a question. And the man said his name was, I believe it was Jorge Reyes. And we couldn't see Jorge on the right side broadcast network feed. They were just using the pool feed, so they didn't actually look at Mr. Reyes, but you could hear him off camera. And apparently, Mrs. Reyes must be a looker because Trump took immediate note of her. Look at her! Trump, he sprung up. And the next thing he was saying is, I love them! And I'm wondering, Latino wives of other men? Is that what you're talking about, sir? So this restaurateur from Tucson, he apparently got to ask a question. And he was complaining about the food prices. And, you know, it's Joe Biden's fault. Pathetic Biden, this Latino guy is talking in specific terms. I quote, pathetic Biden policies. He said, so when does drill baby drill start? That was his question for Trump. And as we've talked about on this show, Dom, it may not be widely understood, you know, the facts by the MAGA. And I know facts don't change their minds. But this country, sadly, under Joe Biden, is producing more fossil fuels than at any time in our nation's history. At any time in our nation's history. And their solution is drill, baby, drill. And my understanding is many of the petrochemical companies, Dom, don't want to fulfill the leases they have now because it's not cost effective. You know, if we didn't give this super depletion write off to oil companies, they get to drain a natural resource, oil in this case, and then claim depletion of the resource and take it as a tax write off, Jerry. I cannot believe that they get to basically market the raw product, you know, refine it and market it, and also get a write off for the use of the raw product.
It's a great deal, man. It's a write-off.
You don't even know what a write-off is. 844-967-2789. So apparently Trump's done. But after ogling Jorge's wife for a moment, oh, look at her. He was very...
She's a looker.
She must have been a looker. And he seemed like he might have been a successful guy. But Trump's then response, where he pivoted immediately. Have you seen the price of bacon?
Have you seen the price of bacon?
And I'm thinking to myself, now this This is a topic that probably hits a little close to home. I got to think Donald Trump, just looking at the man, is a fan of the bacon. I mean, isn't everybody?
That's what I'm saying.
Little bacon with his ketchup in the morning, Dom. I can see it now. Well, yes. What? Yes, but he has differing eating habits.
Indeed, he does.
So we got like a minute left? Never mind.
No, we got a segment left, man. He's off.
No, I know. We got a little time left in the show.
2789. We got time for our callers. And no, we don't have time.
I'm feeling like we're getting some mixed messages around here.
I'm feeling a little verklempt.
Great radio show or greatest radio show ever? That's the only question you should ever have to answer.
844-96-PARTY. We will be right back with your call.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Radio show, the greatest radio show ever. There, I said it. 844-967-2789.
Dom, we'll get back to the lines momentarily. Be patient, callers. This headline caught my attention. I wanted to throw it out there. Republicans in Pennsylvania boo cops who defended the Capitol on January 6th.
Boo! Boo the blue line! Boo!
Former law enforcement officers Gunnell and Harry Gunn, Dunn, D-U-N-N, were honored in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on Wednesday, but some Republican lawmakers booed them. House Speaker Joanna McClinton, that's a Democrat, brought the men to the state capitol and introduced them to the House floor. Republicans responded by booing and hissing. Others simply walked out of the room, the Washington Post reported, after speaking to lawmakers. This is what State Rep. Arvid Venkat, Democrat, said on Thursday. I heard some hissing. I saw about 8 to 10 of my Republican colleagues walk out angrily as they were announced as police officers from the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. I can see why that would be so. Well, as he said, the Democratic lawmaker said, I was shocked and appalled. And the chaos lasted about 5 minutes. There was only a small collection of fewer than 100 officials out of the 203 in the chamber at the time. So about half the class showed up that day, Dom. And the session began its morning introducing the men who defended the Capitol against rioters and insurrectionists. Well, that's where you set off the Republicans.
That's the problem.
It's a little too close to home, Dom.
Uh-huh. What are you doing defending the Capitol against our patriots?
They're traveling the country to raise awareness of the threats to democracy. The jeering could barely be heard on the live stream video beginning at the end of the speaker's comments. When the cheers and whistles began, they drowned out the boos. Now, Speaker McClinton, Democrat, called the actions of the Republicans despicable. Republicans, however, promised that it wasn't a reflection of their dedication to law enforcement.
No.
I was on the House floor yesterday, and I personally spoke to both of the former officers at the Speaker's rostrum, and I and other members of our caucus also had their pictures taken with the former officers, said House Republican leader Brian Cutler. Again, this state office holders in Pennsylvania, he claimed that Democratic lawmakers were antagonizing members and inviting division and discord with their political and campaign purposes. GOP caucus chair George Dunbar denied the whole ordeal and said it was a rigged event, fake event. He said he did not see who did what on the floor yesterday, but believes the action of House Democrats were contrived for political purposes. He claimed that he greeted the officers and has the deepest respect for the Capitol Police officers, as well as for all law enforcement.
So long as they don't campaign for the sitting Democratic president.
Democrats still called out the Republicans' behavior. There were absolutely Republican members who did applaud and stand, but a majority did not, according to Democrat Mike Schlossberg. It was embarrassing and disgraceful. Schlossberg claimed that the booing and jeering grew so loud that the speaker had to raise her voice to be heard over the noise.
Wow.
You don't have to raise your voice to be heard over the noise here. 844-967-2789, unless Tom's talking. Northwoods Terry, welcome. How you doing, man?
Hey, Terry.
Yeah, guys. I had a chance last Saturday to chastise my congressman, Tiffany, and it was fun.
What did Toxic Tom say to you in response?
He just smiled at me and took it. I said, you're a member of this Republican delegation, Wisconsin Republican delegation, the worst in the country, the worst. So, and I hit him with some other things, too. And it was just so much. I kind of was looking for him, but I wasn't sure I'd see him. But there he was at this dairy breakfast, flipping pancakes, blending in. So,
oh, he was out in the community, doing the community thing, yeah. Huh, Terry?
Yeah. There was a lady in front of me, you know, mid-50s, whatever, with her group. And after we got through the line past him, that was great. You getting after him. What a good job you did. It made me feel real good.
Yeah, yeah, man. All right. Northwoods Terry, perhaps Tiffany has an opponent in Northwoods Terry. What do you think, man?
Oh, no.
Oh, slow down.
I got a track record.
Hey, this is the new world, Terry. I mean, if you don't have a track record, you're not going to get elected. Look, they've lowered the bar, man. Even guys like us can run and win.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Terry's got quite a track record, if you know what I'm saying. 844-967-2789. Gary talked about his drill sergeant anti-fascist papa. Would Gary's dad have loved Trump when Trump called? Dead soldiers, suckers, and losers. Maybe you could ask him. Doubt he would answer. That would have been a good question. Steve from Milwaukee says Bannon should be locked up for years. And as to the cost of bacon, Mark texts in, Sugardale bacon's on sale at the Piggly Wiggly here in Sauk. $3.99 a pound on sale. You know where I'm going. Going to get some bacon. Devil's Advocates, best thing since bacon. Thank you for listening. We'll do it again on Friday when we air the grievances for you. Got any special guest? No one we can talk about yet, right?
That's right. Everything's in the planning mode right now, Michael. It'll be a surprise.
If we can let you in to the hardened perimeter tomorrow, we'll let you know who the special guest may or may not be. We'll see. Have a great night. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Rich, for all the hard work you do. And thank you all for playing along. We love it when you do. 844-967-2789. Now bug the next show.